أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم جميعا. Our heartfelt condolences to the Ummah of Rasulullah for the demise of Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi wa salamu alayh. Tonight's program is presented by Light of Guidance, inshallah, for the Muharram 2020 program. And before we begin with the lecture by Samahat Sheikh, inshallah, we will begin with some words from the Holy Quran recited to us by Brother Ali Abbas, بعد الصلوات على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم
صل على محمد وآل. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Insha'Allah, now at this time, we'll be playing a video of poetry recited by Brother Hassan Salami بعد الصلوات على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
What would you do if you knew you had to sacrifice yourself for the sake of those waiting to betray you? That you had to give yourself for the sake of what is true, for the pleasure of God, yet be hated by the very people who summoned you? Would you? Could you see yourself mounting upon the saddleback of a desert path through horse tracks rising like pyramids of sand to the land of Karbala? Deprived of ma'ab, water evaporated from your mouth by the heat of hatred, but hearts as hard as iron cannot falter to those as cold as steel. Steel swords unsheathed against the flesh descended upon by Jibra'il. Would you do what's necessary? Far from the pursuit of glory or fame, knowing you'll be slain, but those who die for God's sake, never hidden, they remain. Even if the sands cover the shapes of their body lines, the wind whistles of a new generation, echoing like a war chime, saying, Karbala, Karbala lives! Lives! And the starving bodies of Yemeni kids, and the orphans of Iraqis and Syrians, and the caged bones of Palestinians and Black Americans, and the sanctioning of Iranians, and the hidden screams of Kashmir, and the propaganda and smear campaigns that justify bombs and bullets falling down like rain, like the arrows that rain down upon him that day and through every time and in every way. He is the source of inspiration to everyone drowning in oppression and pain. The sound of his name has become synonymous with freedom from being enslaved. He was Hussein, and this is Ashura today.
And now, without further ado, let us begin the lecture with Samahat al-Shaykh Osama Abdul Ghani, ba'da salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome to the lecture series which is titled Timeless Truth. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, what we're going to be doing is learning important, relevant, and eternal lessons from Imam Hussein. The Imam's Qiyam only lasted a few months, but the lessons that we can learn from that are so many. What we want to do is to learn from the Imam himself, from his words, from his stances, and also from the surrounding events, those people who were there, who were witnesses, who did good, and also those who did bad. We want to learn from all of these individuals so that we're able to move in the right direction for our Imam. We're looking for relevant lessons. The first lesson that we're going to concentrate on is a lesson that we learn from the Imam when it comes to the concept of oppression. And oppression right now in 2020 is something we need to be talking about. What is Islam's stance on oppression? The thing that we learn from the Imam is this. In Islam, we have three pillars for oppression. Oppression in Islam is a three-headed monster. You have three partners in this crime, and each and every one of them are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't like these three pillars. It's the zalim and his enablers. The three pillars are these. One of them is the zalim, the oppressor. The other one is the person who accepts zulm, the person who willingly feels Loam is my lot in life. I can't do anything about it. He accepts loam. And the last is the spectator, the person who watches the oppression, sees it happening, and doesn't do anything about it. The person says, it's not my fight. This isn't my issue. All of these three enable loam to happen in this world. And if we didn't have these, if we didn't have the zalim, there'd be no loam. If we didn't have those who accept loam, there'd be no loam. And if we didn't have those who watch and know what's right and what's wrong and don't say anything, then we also wouldn't have loam. So we want to learn today a little bit about the oppressor, right? The person who considers themselves above the law. It's okay for me to mistreat others, to go against what Allah says, as long as I get my way. But then after that, we have to spend time learning about the person who accepts oppression. That person is also not viewed kindly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, in order to make this part of the discussion complete, we have to learn and make sure we're not those bystanders, those people who watch. And oppression can happen on an international level. Let's say in the issue of Quds right now, the issue of Kashmir right now, right? Syria, there's so many, Bahrain, Yemen. You find these same three players. Or it might take place on a national level. The plight of the African Americans for the last 400 years, for instance. The other forms of oppression that we see here in this country, domestic oppression. Or it might be on a smaller scale. It might happen in a workplace. There might be oppression that takes place. Or, even more personal, in a family, amongst Muslims, in a community. Sometimes a Muslim might be an oppressor. Sometimes what happens is that I am like Pharaoh. I am Pharaoh, but my Egypt is tiny. I do loam, I oppress. And of course, there's different rules for each and every one of these situations. There's different, some people, as soon as they hear about oppression and the stance of Imam Hussein, then immediately they want to take out Dhulfiqar on other Muslims. Ready to let the Muslims have it. Whereas Allah in Surah 59, verse number 10, he says this, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O Allah, don't put hate in our heart towards believers. So there's different rules when it comes to believers, those who are practicing, those who could be led back to the way. But still, all of these take place. And what we want to make sure is that if it happens, because it could happen, like I said, even for us as Muslims, because we're making this practical, it could be a father who does dhulm. It could be a mother. It could be the children who are doing loam to the parents. It could be siblings who do loam to one another. And you find these same players, the zalim, the mundhalim, and then also the one who watches and doesn't take a stance or says, I'm on this side, this team, this is my team. So we have all of these different players there. But right now we want to learn about the zalim. What does Islam say about the zalim? What are the spiritual effects of being a zalim? What happens if we don't fix this spiritual disease, which can affect anyone, all of us? So we're going to start off, though, by learning from Imam Hussein, Abu Abdullah, the greatest teacher for us, the one who is giving us that inspiration, that lantern of guidance 1,400 years later. There's an incident, brothers and sisters, that takes place in the beginning of the Qiyam, where the Imam goes over and he makes his stance clear. How he feels about the zalim, how he feels about being accepting dhulm, and also, what about those people who are bystanders? Let's see what we find from the words and the stances of Abu Abdullah. So what happens is, this conversation that I'm about to share with you, it starts off in the masjid of Rasulullah. Imam Hussein is sitting there and he's talking to Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, him, mid-conversation, a messenger comes. The messenger is there on behalf of Walid, the governor. But it's at a time of the day, let's say late in the evening, when you wouldn't normally expect a message from the governor, that you have to come to his office, to his castle, to sit with him, to talk with him. Abdullah asks Imam Hussein, he says, what do you think is up? This isn't a normal time. Why would he be asking that we have to meet with him right now? Imam Hussein said, I think the Taghut died. Muawiyah is dead. I think this is about bay'ah. He said, but we've got to meet the guy. Imam Hussein gets up. He's going to go meet him. But Imam Hussein doesn't want to be surprised. He tells Bani Hashim, some of the youth from Bani Hashim, some of his close companions, I'm going to go over to meet Walid. When I go there, I want you to come, and come armed. If anything kicks off, if you hear me raise my voice, you bust down the door, you come in, you get me. The Imam goes to the house of Walid. When he goes to the house of Walid, he walks in and he sees Marwan is sitting there. The discussion begins, explaining that we need you to make bay'ah to Yazid. At first, the Imam doesn't go directly to the point. He says, I don't think you want me to make bay'ah secretly. You probably want me to make bay'ah in front of the people. He said, let's see tomorrow what happens. Walid was like, yeah, let's do that tomorrow. Marwan said, you make him make bay'ah right now if he doesn't cut off his head. When he said that, words were exchanged. Imam Hussein told him, he said, who's going to give the command to kill me? You going to cut off my head or him? You going to tell somebody? He said that you can't do that. And then he turned to Walid and he said these words which tell us our stance, that timeless stance from the Imam. He says, Ayyuhal Amir, Amir, Inna Ahlu Baytin Nubuwa. He introduces the Ahlul Bayt. Wa Ma'adinur Risala. We are the people on whom angels descend. We are the house of prophethood. Bina fatah Allah wa bina khatam. Allah. Allah begins with us, he ends with us. And then he talks about the zalim. Wa Yazid, rajulun fasiq. He is a sinner. Sharibul khamr, a drunkard. Qatilun nafs al muharrama. He murders people, innocent people. Mu'linun bil fisq. He's open about his sins. And he says the stance. Wa mithli la yubayyu mithlah. Someone like me will never make bay'ah to someone like him. He said, we'll see what's going to happen tomorrow. We'll see who's more deserving of khilafah and of bay'ah. So for us as believers, now since we're focusing on the idea of the zalim, that's our first focus, is we have to make sure that we are not oppressors. We got to be real careful to make sure that it's never the case that we as believers are oppressors. What the ayat of the Quran tell us is that, and I'm going to share this verse, we have to stand up for justice, even if it's against ourselves or our parents or our near ones, let alone everybody else. Surah 4, verse number 135, Allah says this, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, kunu qawwamina bilqist, be maintainers of justice. Shuhada'a lillah, witnesses for God. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even if against yourselves. أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, or your parents. وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ, and the near ones. So the stance of the believer when it comes to oppression, those who believe, witnesses, Standing for justice, even if it means that I have to say that what I did was wrong. Islam says something else. And by the way, it's important for us to raise our families in this way, so that they know from the time they're very young that you can't be a zalim, you can't accept zulm, and you can't be a bystander if it happens. What the Arafat tell us is that even for the first 7 years, where our children, because of Islam, they're given freedom. They're given love, respect. They should play. We should play with them. Ahlul Bayt would play not only with their children, but the children of strangers. What do we stop them on? This Arafat give us some instructions. One of the things that we stop our children from doing is bullying other children. We don't get to just beat up other little kids. It's the first 7 years. Not dhulm. Or that our kids grow up in a house where dhulm happens and there's nothing you can do about it. There's a member of the family. This person's above the law. There's rules. The rules apply to everybody else. This person can get away with things. Whether it's a parent, God forbid, whether it's one of the siblings, children, the idea of learning that I can't stand up. It's just okay. It is what it is. This kind of a thing is not acceptable. Actually, making sure that dhulm doesn't happen, especially to women and children. Of course, we learn from our hadith, sometimes even the wife can be a dhalima. Anybody can be a dhalim. Nobody gets to be feral. But especially dhulm to women and children is something we want to be careful about. Again, we go back to Imam Hussein and his last wasiyah to Imam Sajjad. So once everybody had been slaughtered, the Imam comes back and now he has one last conversation with his son, the next Imam. The last words that he's going to share with him before he goes out to face 30,000 men are very important. And he tells him, Ya Bunay, my son, Iyaka wa dhulma man la yajidu alayka nasiran ilallah. Beware of doing dhulm to that person who doesn't have anyone else to complain to, can't defend themselves. The only hope they have is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in Islam, nobody's above the law. Nobody gets to oppress anyone. Nobody gets to say, my way or the highway. We all submit to Allah. Allah's laws apply to everybody. Nobody gets to stand up once it's clear what the truth is. And no, Islam doesn't say that. What happens is, when it comes to the next point of the different types of dhulm that Islam is sensitive about, Islam also has clear instructions. And there's many types of dhulm. One type of dhulm is denying others their rights. Islam says you can do this, I say you can't do this. That's one of the types of dhulm. Islam says the Muslim is the person. Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadih. The Muslim is the person who others are safe from their tongue and their hand. Some people will put their hands on other people, unfortunately. Some people are very harsh with their words. They might even be a good person in other regards, do a lot of good things, a lot of khair. There was a woman in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people came to the Prophet talking about how great this lady was. This lady, tasumun nahar, fasts. وَتَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ مَكْ صَلَاتُ اللَّيْلِ وَتَتَصَدَّقْ and give so much charity in the way of Allah وَتُؤْذِي جَارَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا but her tongue is harsh. The Prophet said, لَا خَيْرَ فِيهَا there is no good in that woman. هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ definitely this woman is going to the hellfire. What happens is, when it comes to us not being oppressors, making sure that not our tongues, not our hands are not oppressing anyone. Islam even goes further. Sometimes someone can oppress someone with a look. The hadith says from our Prophet, لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. It is not allowed or lawful for the mu'min أَنْ يُشِيرَ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِنَذْرَةٍ تُؤْذِيهِ. It's not allowed for them to look at their brother in such a way that they torment that person. It goes more than that. It talks about the otherworldly effects. مَنْ نَذَرَ إِلَىٰ مُؤْمِنٍ. Whoever looks at a believer, نَذْرَةً لِيَخِيفَهُ بِهَا. He wants to terrify that believer unjustly. I'm making my point. I'm looking at that person in such a way I terrify that person. What happens on يوم القيامة? أخافه الله عز وجل. On the day of judgment, on the day when there is no shade but Allah's shade, Allah will make sure to terrify that person who terrified the believer. So oppressors, those who harm others, those who are above the law, those whose hands, tongues do things that Allah doesn't like, they may enjoy the few days in this world, but on the day of judgment, Allah will take them to account. The hadith is very terrifying, actually. إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, يُنَادِ الْمُنَادِ. The caller will call out, أَيْنَ الْمُؤْذُونَ لِأَوْلِيَائِ. Who, where are those people who tormented my friends, my awliya? The hadith says a group of people will stand up on the day of judgment. And these people will have no flesh on their bones, on their faces. God will say, the caller will say, or God will say, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ آذَوُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. These are the people who used to torment the believers, who would give them a hard time, who would give them difficulty because of their religion. They were practicing their religion. Then after that, ثُمَّ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِمْ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ. They'll be ordered to go to the fire. What happens is, our scholars, our senior scholars, were very worried when it came to hadith like this. And even the smallest forms of transgression, when it came to their families, to those who were around them, they were very worried because they heard the hadith. They knew better. I want to share a story. It goes something like this about one of our greats. May Allah protect him. Ayatollah Hassan Zade Amuli, one of our greats. What happened was that he used to go to his village. When Hausa wasn't in session, in the summers, he'd go back to his village, which was outside of a city called Amul. He would go over there, and in the morning, he would have his classes. So maybe he'd do some research, go give his classes. After that, he would lead the Dhuhr prayers. He would come home. He would have lunch. After lunch, rest. And then again in the evening, he would be busy again. He would be at the service of the community, maybe lectures, maybe. He says, one time after I came home, the second day from my trip, when I'm back home in Amul, I came home and I'd been busy all morning, ate lunch, it's time for me to rest. He really needed the rest. You know, some people, if they don't rest, they'll get a headache, their day will be ruined, everything's ruined. He needs his rest. He tried to get his rest, and his kids were over there making noise. Running, jumping, loud. Trying to get his rest. Finally, he got up and he told the kids, stop, don't do this. Again, when Ayatollah Hassan Zade Amuli is doing this, it's not like you and I. Very gentle, very, very gentle, but still, he told the kids. And he shouted at them. He was mini. He stopped. And the kids stopped. After that, he went to his room to sleep. He said, but I couldn't sleep. My conscience was killing me. Thinking to myself, they're children. They're supposed to make noise. Why did I say that? Even as gentle as he was, it wasn't appropriate. I broke their hearts. He says, I couldn't even sleep. The sleep was now ruined. Thinking to myself, what I'll do is I'll go out, I'll buy a box of sweets, and when I buy these sweets, inshallah, they'll forgive me, they'll forget about it. He goes out, buys the sweets, gives it to the children. The children take the sweets. But He said, still, I didn't feel that it was okay. He told his wife, he said, I've got to make a trip. He said, I'll be gone for 2 or 3 days. And he left. And he went from Amul to Tehran, and from Tehran to Tabriz. His teacher was in Tabriz, one of his teachers, one of the greats. The teacher I'm referring to, the man whose house he's going to go to, is Ayatollah Muhammad Hassan Tabatabai. So Allama Tabatabai, his brother, he's Sayyid Muhammad Hussein, this is Sayyid Muhammad Hassan, one of the greats in spirituality. They said if he was not higher than his brother, he was not less. But Allah chose that he remained anonymous. Now what happened was, prior to this, he had told Sayyid Hassan, so Sayyid Muhammad Hassan is a student of Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai. And that great arif, even after his death, with some of his students, he used to keep in touch after his death, from the barzakh. He had told Sayyid Muhammad Hassan that if possible, before, he just, you know, have some, would like to communicate. Came to the house, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, sit down. And then he brought up the fact, he said, my words, by the way, I have a message for you from Ayatollah Qadi Tabatabai. What's the message? He said that Agha Hassan Zadeh, he has hope to come on this spiritual path, and he deals with his wife and children like this. He said, I turned so red, the tears started rolling down my cheeks. So our scholars, even as gentle as he is, the idea of somehow making a mistake in that regard, they were very, very careful about it. Now for us as believers, one of the things we have to be careful about is that insulting and humiliating any of Allah's creation, especially those, well, any of Allah's creation, those who Allah loves, especially those who have more rights over us, is 100% haram. And we have to really be careful, because Allah, we learn from hadith, Allah has hidden his awliya amongst his creation. You and I, we don't know who we're interacting with, who might be that wali of Allah. If it turns out that we go over and we break the heart of someone, and that person was one of Allah's awliya, Allah help us. If we're interacting with our spouse and our children, another mu'min or mu'mina, and we do dhulm to them, we break their heart, it's worse for us spiritually if they don't do anything back. Some people, when you insult them, when you do dhulm to them, they'll at least respond inappropriately. That you do dhulm to them, they also will say something inappropriate to you. Some people, even if you do dhulm to them, they'll do their Islamic responsibility. If that happens, their heart breaks, that's when we really need to be worried. The hadith, this hadith Qudsi, God says, Ana inda al-munkasirati qulubuhum. I am there with those who've got their hearts broken. Sometimes what happens is it doesn't wait for the hereafter. One of the greats in Qom who passed, Ayatollah Ahmadiyya Mianaji, one of the greats, he used to have akhlaqi lessons, people would go, they would benefit. He tells a story about someone he knew. He says that I knew this individual before, when they were wealthy, when things were going well. I also saw this same individual later in life when they were dirt poor and broken. He said, they told me a story. The guy said, and the guy was a good guy, by the way. He was very charitable. He would give. Good guy, generally. He said, once I was in my house and one of the neighbors came. This sister, when she came to the house, she came to borrow some rice. This would happen a lot in Iran. A neighbor would come over, I need to borrow some rice for you. And the woman started telling her story. I've got orphans, I've got children, I need to borrow a little bit of rice. When she said that, He said, I was tired and angry. I got so angry, I shoved her. Not only did I shove her, I told her, get out of here. I don't have time for you and your begging. He said, I could see the humiliation and the pain in the eyes of that woman. After that, every type of business transaction that I tried to have, it would ruin. Until finally Allah broke him. He ended up in financial ruin. We ask Allah to help us avoid dhulm and being one of the zalimeen. And now we're going to go to Karbala, just a few minutes, and then our brother, inshallah, will take us where we need to be. Di'ib al-Khuzai was a poet, and he used to use his words and his voice and his talents to defend the Ahlul Bayt. He said, once I went to Imam Ridha's house, and over there, Imam told me this. He says, Ya Di'bil, man baka ala masabi jaddi al-Husayn, ghafar Allah lahu dhunubahu al-bata. Whoever cries over what happened to my grandfather Hussein, Allah will definitely forgive this person their sins. He says, then the Imam got up, and he drew a curtain in the house, and his family came and sat behind the curtain in order for them to hear the masa'ib. We started off talking about the idea of dhulm, and the idea that you can't compromise, and that you stand against the oppressors no matter what happens. Even we consider this a spiritual act. What happens is on the day of Karbala, Imam Hussein reached a stage after the battle that it was now time to pray the Dhuhr prayers. He told some individuals to stand in front of them, a man named Sa'id and a man named Zuhair. When the Imam told them to stand in front of them, these two individuals went over to stand in front of their Imam. And it's important for us to get to know a little bit about Sa'id. Sa'id was a good Shia. Sa'id had been there for Amirul Mu'mineen in all three of the battles. Sa'id was trusted by Imam Hussein. He was the one who brought the letters from Muslim back to Imam Hussein to let him know that everything was okay. But yet Sa'id had made a mistake before. Sa'id hadn't supported Imam Hassan when it came to the peace treaty. Now Sa'id has his chance to make it up. They said when the arrows were coming towards Imam Hussein, Sa'id would move in concert with the arrows. If the arrows came to the right, Sa'id would move to the right. If it came to the left, he would move to the left. Till finally the arrows were coming, and Sa'id, by his sheer will, was able to stand, getting arrows in his neck, in his throat, in his body, until the prayer was finished. When the prayer was finished, Sa'id collapsed onto the ground. And it's recorded in history what he said, his last words as he spoke to God, as he whispered to God, bleeding out there on the sand. And he told God, he said that, pass my salams to Rasulullah. Tell him what I happened. Tell him about these injuries. I only did this because of the thawab that I wanted for defending your family. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibu.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد Peace and blessings be upon you, Prophet of Allah. Peace and blessings be upon you, Ya Abba Abdullah. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein.
عيني يا حسين يا حبيبي يا حسين يا رحمة الله الواسعة يا حسين Oh my beloved يا حسين The light of my eye يا حسين Oh the vast mercy of Allah يا أبا Brothers and sisters, let us take our hearts out to that land of Karbala, the land of Hussein and Abbas, the land of Zainab and Akbar. On these nights, my beloved Imam, we come to you with our sins. Asking you to accept us in your caravan, Ya Aba Abdullah. We are here to renew our allegiance and join the pure ranks that stood with you. Sayyidi, you called for a supporter, and here we are. You said, هل من ناصر ينصرنا هل من مغيث يغيثنا Here we are, Ya Aba Abdullah, we are your supporters and your aid. Brothers and sisters, these majalis that we hold annually, they are not mere traditions, nor are they the cultural norms that we have been accustomed to. Rather, they are events that our imams used to hold, and they used to advise others to hold. In a narration attributed to Imam al-Ridha, salawatullahi wa salamu alayh, he says, let the weepers weep over someone like Hussein. For verily weeping over him reduces the burden of great sins. Then he continued saying, as soon as the month of Muharram would set in, my father was never seen laughing, and he would be overcome by sadness until after the first 10 days had passed. And when the 10th day had dawned, it was a day of grief and sorrow and crying for him. And he used to say, this is the day when Al-Hussein was a martyr. In another narration by Imam al-Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh, he says to his companion, An Rayyan ibn Shabib, he says to him, Ya ibn Shabib, in kunta bakiyan li shay, fabiki lil Husayn ibn Ali. فإنه ذبح كما يذبح الكبش وقتل معه من أهل بيته 18 رجلا ما لهم في الأرض شبيهون ولقد بكت السماوات 7 والأراضون لقتله O son of Shabib, if you wish to mourn and lament over anyone, do so upon Hussein, the son of Ali, for he was beheaded like a lamb. 18 persons from among his family, they joined him in martyrdom, who were unparalleled in the earth. earth, the heavens and the earth lamented over the death of Hussein. And he continued to say to him, Ibn Shabib, in bakayta ala al-Hussein, hatta tasira dumu'uka ala khaddayk, ghafara Allahu laka kulla dhanbin adhnabtuh, saghiran kana aw kabira, qalilan kana aw kathira. O son of Shabib, if you weep over the afflictions of Hussein, such that tears flow from your eyes and fall upon your cheeks, Allah will forgive all your sins, whether they are big or small, and less or large in number. As if Imam al-Ridha was saying to Ibn Shabib, O Ibn Shabib, if you wish to lament and weep, O Ibn Shabib, if you wish to lament and weep, O Ibn Shabib, if you wish to lament and weep, weep for the one who was slaughtered like a sheep. Upon his chest they sat, and his ribs they broke, and then attacked his tents with fire and smoke. O Ibn Shabib, if only you seen that evil band, as they severed his finger from his hand. O Ibn Shabib, upon Hussein let your tears flow, for it may be a remedy for his heart's arrow. In a narration by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says to his companion Fudail, Ya Fudail, do you sit together and do you talk and discuss amongst yourselves? Fudail said, Yes, O Imam. Then the Imam said to him, Ya Fudail, I approve of these sittings. So keep our affairs alive. Rahim Allahu man ahya amrana. May Allah exhibit mercy on those who revive the mission and the issue of Ahlul Bayt. These are the nights we gather to commemorate Ahlul Bayt, to commemorate those heroes of Karbala. These are the gatherings Imam al-Sadiq praised and prayed for. These are the gatherings that Fatima al-Zahra attends. On these nights we send our condolences to Rasulullah, to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen, as well as the rest of the progeny of Rasulullah, and specifically the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajuhu al-Sharif. Ya Aba Salih, where are you on a night like this? Where are you when the crescent of Muharram dawns? Let's take our hearts out to our Imam, Imam al-Mahdi. Ya Aba Salih, we are orphaned in your absence. My beloved Imam, in what condition are you in? How are you spending these nights of Muharram? My beloved Imam, if only you saw the sight of your family on the plains of Karbala. O Muharram, have mercy upon his heart when he remembers his family torn apart. One by the Euphrates River, he lies dead. Muhammad. Another the spears of Umayyah raise his head. Yet the greatest tragedy we recall is the woman standing with no help at all. We know from Imam Zain al-Abidin that was the toughest thing for them to see, the woman of Al-Muhammad being captives in the courtyard of Yazid. My Imam, if only you were there to see them when the tents were burning. That very fire of the tents has lit a fire in all of our hearts. If only you seen the children asking your auntie Zainab about Abbas. Ya Amma Zainab, Aina Ammi Qamar al-Ashira, where is Abbas, Ya Zainab? If only you seen the way your beloved auntie Zainab was treated by the whips of the opposition. My Imam, during these nights, where do you spend your time? Near which grave do you sit? And in what condition you see the shrine? Peace be upon your sorrowful heart when you walk towards her land. And you sit beside her grave, and you begin to kiss her sand. Oh Zainab, look and see, upon your grave is your Mahdi. He is your Abbas, oh Zainab, that has come to set you free. But my master, Ya Abu Salih, one last thing. We all know the pain and experience you the pain you experience when you make your way to Sham. So what about when you make your way to that deserted land of Karbala? In Ziyarat al-Nahya al-Muqaddasa, it is attributed that Imam al-Mahdi recited, فَلَئِنْ أَخَّرَتْنِي الدُّهُورِ وَعَاقَنِي عَنْ نَصْرِكَ الْمَقْدُورِ وَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكَ مُحَارِبًا وَلِمَنْ نَصَبَ لَكَ الْعَدَاوَةَ مُنَاصِبًا فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ لَكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ دَمًا حسرة عليك وتأسفا على ما دهاك وتلهفا. But as I have been hindered by the course of time, and Allah's decree has prevented me from helping you, and as I could not fight those who fought you, and was not able to show hostility to those who showed hostility to you, I will therefore lament you morning and evening, and will weep blood in place of tears out of my anguish for you and my sorrow for all that befell you. Ya Aba Salih, we will conclude with this final line. أين الطالب بدم المقتول بكربلاء؟
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. صلي على محمد وآل محمد. Haydar, 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 Haydar. Arise, all of virtue, son of Haydar. These skies cry out to you, Father Haydar. Hussein has now come to Karbala. Look out for your dear son, Ali Mawla. Haydar, 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 Haydar. With him, Lady Zainab, with him, Akbar. With Lady Ruqayya and his Askar. You are known as the Helper, Ya Mawlah. Look out for your dearest son of Zahra. Haydar, 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 Haydar. A Habib will be taken, so will Qasim. Soon the moon will set off Bani Hashim. With none around, he may call for father. Only thing on his mind will be Haydar, 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 Haydar. With your name we will live, Haydar, Haydar. For your love we will give, Haydar, Haydar. With your flag we will raise every Khaybar. On Al-Quds we will raise your flag, Haydar, 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 Haydar. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, to conclude tonight's program, inshallah, we'll be reciting Dua al-Faraj. So if you are seated, inshallah, you may stand if you want to. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi
في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, this will conclude tonight's program, and inshallah, we'll see you tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.